Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Welcome and thanks so much for tuning in. 25 years ago, God saw fit to birth His ministry called His Way Out. We remain a Christian ministry committed to effectively and compassionately communicating God's heart concerning sexual brokenness and wholeness while disputing the unchangeable nature of sexual orientation. On the broadcast, we're going to be largely turning our attention to the question, can homosexuals really change? And to help me discuss this, if not flesh it out, is a special friend and colleague in ministry. He happens to be the co-founder of Equipped to Love, which is a Christian ministry, a wonderful resource for individuals, family members, friends, and church leaders, as well as a co-creative director of a wonderful publication titled Changed, Once Gay Stories. Joining me on the broadcast today is Ken Williams. Ken, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Philip. Thank you so much.
You and I speak to the whole subject matter of same-sex attraction, both professionally and personally. So I want to give you first and foremost an opportunity, if you would please, to share some testimony of what Christ has done in your life.
Oh, thank you so much. It's good to be here with you. Yeah, I tell people all the time, I feel like I'm living somebody else's life. I never expected to be doing what I'm doing, and I never expected to have a family or be married to a wife or anything like that. It just all seemed completely out of the realm of possibility for so long. So I love to brag on what Jesus has done for me. So,
So I
started out, I was raised in church and had parents that loved me. I found Christ at 8 years old, a very heartfelt conversion to really follow Him, to really want to be, you know, pleasing to Him and serve the Lord. And yet, there was trouble. I was the smallest, shortest, scrawniest kid in every class in school, and didn't really fit with the boys. I just gravitated more toward the girls because I just had trouble fitting in with the boys, even just fit in stature, you know, just I wanted to talk deeply. I wanted to talk about my faith for one thing and just talk about deep things, and the boys my age didn't really want to do that mostly. They just wanted to be, you know, using their physical strength and stuff, and I was always outmatched. So I naturally kind of found safety hanging out with the girls. As I got on into my, 8, 10 years old, I got exposed to hardcore gay pornography as well as just pornography. I remember walking away from having seen that gay pornography, feeling like I'd just been damaged because I didn't understand why I was seeing what I was seeing on the pages of that magazine. That we just, some kids, we just found it, you know, playing in a field. And I remember feeling like, you know, because I did know the Lord at that point, but I remember feeling like I had done something very bad and I could never let anyone know about it. And yet I didn't even understand, you know, what really I was seeing. I mean, I knew what I was seeing, but it was just all something that would be hidden forever and I would have to just keep quiet. But at the same time, it kind of awakened something. I mean, there was something, you know, I was looking at intimate things and didn't have any way to size that up by myself. And then, you know, I, as I would go, you know, and spend time in church, and I would notice that, like, the women seemed to just be, they would gather together at the end of church and be standing there with their kids running around, and they would be talking about the Lord. And then I would notice that the men seemed to be standing around talking about football and or sports or something more surface. And it's like, I just as a boy, I judged masculinity as less spiritual, less noble, less true. And I only know this in hindsight, but I realized that I determined that I was better than masculinity, even as a maybe a 9 or 10 year old. It was just easier to I think to blame someone else for the fact that I didn't seem to be able to fit in. And so as I grew, I just felt more and more separate from my peers, separate from other males. And then by the time I was 13 or 14 years old, I'm finding myself with same-sex attraction. And but when I'm 15, I was babysitting a little kid, and he was asleep, and a movie came on, and the movie was about a boy that was about my age who realized that, you know, I was watching basically my life play out on the television screen, because the ways that he felt about himself, the ways that he didn't fit in with his male peers, was exactly like my life. And in the movie, he realizes, oh, I'm gay, and his community, his family, and the psychiatrist he started seeing all eventually said, look, this is just how you were born, this is who you are, and you just need to embrace it. And so I literally, panic just hit me in that moment, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have no hope of a future, because I had, while I was only sexually attracted to males at that point, I had no desire to live a gay lifestyle. I didn't want to have sex with men, but that's all I was attracted to. So I was panic-stricken. I was like, you know, I know that that's not the life that God has for me, but apparently I have no choice in the matter. And so from that point, I just started trying to stay alive. Like I had no hope. My faith background, my church background, didn't really have any modalities for like inner healing. They didn't focus on like the Holy Spirit being present today to heal or anything like that. And so it was just going to have to be me white knuckling it, trying not to live out what seemed inevitable.
And this is in spite of the fact that you were raised in church.
Correct. Exactly.
Wow.
That's right. So it was very, it was extremely overwhelming and depressing. And all the shame too, like I still was carrying the shame of having seen that pornography and stuff like that. So, I also had some interactions with other, I'd been touched, you know, as a kid with that porn thing opened up some sex play with other boys, which really just, you know, it was intriguing, but it was so damaging. I just felt dirty all the time.
And it sounds very much, Ken, like what you're sharing, as I experienced and many, many others did.
Yep.
There was a point in our lives when you just knew something was off, something wasn't quite right. We couldn't put our finger on it. It didn't have
right.
a name until all of a sudden you do realize, boom, I'm looking at the guys, I'm not looking at the girls. And
correct.
It's a terrifying moment in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, my heart wasn't there. I didn't, you know, I know, same for you. It's like, I didn't want to live that kind of a life, but what do you do when there is no message in culture or in the church that says, hey, just because you have some same-sex attraction doesn't mean that's what your identity is.
Yes.
Like, there was nothing telling me that
yes.
anywhere. So it's like the only message that was out there was, oh, this is what gay looks like, and this is who you are.
I think the major difference between your life and mine in terms of the whole same-sex attraction factor was that I was not raised in church. I was not raised in a Christian family environment.
Right.
So when this surfaced in my own life, it was like, oh, man, the shame factor alone just but absolutely consumed me.
Yeah, and even though you didn't have a faith background.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I had enough awareness of, you know, those people. Don't go near those people.
Sure.
Stay away from that thing. And yet it was surfacing in my own life. And I'm telling you, it's a terrifying moment.
It is. And, you know, and I had heard messages, you know, either from family members, extended family members, and from the church on exactly how horrible homosexuals are. So, I, you know, so then it's like, what do you do if you apparently, you find out that you are one of those? You know, where do you go when you have faith in God and you're in church and you can't go there for help? That's
exactly
the place that you need to hide from, right?
Exactly.
That's my story.
Was there a point in your life, Ken, was there something in particular that happened or transpired that all of a sudden you went, okay, this whole gay thing is not gay at all. It's a contradiction in terms. Was there something in particular that happened you went, okay, enough of this, done with it, I got to move on?
I had had a somewhat sexual relationship with a friend in my teens, and when a family move separated us, I felt like I could breathe again for the first time. Now, my drug had been taken away, so my affirmation, see, because any time we would act out sexually in some way, it was affirmation and it was validation to my masculinity. The fact that someone was interested in touching me that way told me that I had some masculine value. Now, I only know this in hindsight, but I can tell you that's what I was experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And when that was taken away, I was devastated, but I didn't have the guilt piling up anymore. And so, what happened is I realized I need help, and I started becoming suicidal. And in my panic, I realized I didn't want to hurt my family, though. And I just wanted to stop living. I didn't want to destroy my family. And so when I couldn't take it anymore, I finally wrote 9 pages of my pain and hate and vulgarity out and handed it to my youth pastor. And
wow.
So he then said, well, we're going to tell your parents. And I was like, no, no, no. You know, he said, oh, yes. And my parents handled it wonderfully. They said, hey, you know, we're devastated that you've been dealing with this alone and couldn't tell us, and got me to see a Christian counselor who I saw weekly for 5 years. And that began my process of healing. But it all came down to my becoming suicidal. That's why I finally had to say, okay, uncle, you know, I need help.
You mean your same-sex attraction wasn't resolved immediately overnight? I mean, God just
didn't
go poof and it was gone?
No, he didn't. He didn't. And you know, how rude, right?
I mean,
you know, it seemed so. I mean, how many times have we both heard people say that? I mean, it's tragic because, you know, the church for so long has been known as the one throwing the stones at people that are gay identified when they're the ones with the solution.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
I mean, that's the story of my life is when I found some different churches that understood the present day working of the Holy Spirit, they were able to help disciple me in a way that included my identity in Christ and that affirmed me, that validated who I was apart from what I was experiencing in my sexual arousals. And over time, that discipleship process and that being transformed by the renewing of our minds that the Lord offers people who draw close, that eventually affected my sexuality.
Well, now you're bringing to the discussion the earmark, really, of being discipled in Christ. And that is your story. It's certainly my story. And I would submit that had I not been discipled, you and I probably would not be having this conversation right now. So
right.
thank God that there are Christian leaders that believe in truly, truly discipling men and women, which has to include our sexuality, because we are sexual beings. Our sexuality is a huge part of who we are, and leave that out. I don't know how a man or woman could really say that they have been truly, truly discipled. So thank God you had that resource, you had that encouragement and support base to be discipled, as I did. We were truly two of the fortunate. That's not sometimes the case for other men and women around the world.
No, that's right. And I don't know if we're skipping ahead or not, but like that's what is so tragic is for so many churches and church leaders to be capitulating right now on what sexual morality really is supposed to look like takes away the hope or the pathway that you and I were able to walk on.
Yes.
Right? And you know, for someone, if it's not your personal experience, I can see how some people would think, oh, well, we just need to be nice to people and we need to be loving, which means accommodating them in whatever they're experiencing. But I'm so glad that people didn't just accommodate my brokenness, because it was, you know, there were reasons that I was acting the way that I was. It was because of pain and having never had the nurture and the affirmation of my own masculinity that I needed, that I was turning to other men sexually. Mm. But the acting out that I did do, it never scratched that itch. I always had to have another fix minutes later. I was completely codependent on one male that would be in my life at every, you know, all the way from first grade all the way until after college. I was completely fixated always on one man for all my affirmation.
So did you have, Ken, in your life, did you have a time period, a season that you led what many refer to as the gay lifestyle? Because I did. I did that for 17 years in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York City.
Yeah.
And I know there are some who would say they would draw exception to or challenge. There's no such thing as a gay lifestyle. I'm not one of those, because I know what I was doing for those many, many years. Did that transpire in your life also?
Yeah, I would say that I would support your point that no, I did not live what people would consider a gay lifestyle, because for one thing, I never came out and people never knew publicly about my struggle. But I was, you know, there were multiple seasons of my life where for weeks or months at a time, I would be having some kind of sexual interaction with another male, you know, but yes. I wasn't public with it.
So really what we're talking about ultimately in your life, my life, and the multitude of other men and women around the world that were once ensnared and bound by the brokenness of same-sex attraction, who now have new lives in Christ Jesus, transformed, redeemed, experiencing incredibly new life in Christ. That happened only through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Would you agree?
It did. I that's the one thing that actually started to bring change into my life. And I experienced a supernatural physical healing in my body. I'd had a 5-year illness. Long story short, a friend of mine lays hands on me, prays for me, and bam, I had an incredible miracle. All the pain left. I was instantly free, finally, after 5 years of struggle and trying every medical approach with nothing working. And my takeaway was, oh my gosh, God is good. And I realized, wait a minute, if the Lord said that homosexuality is sin, he must have a solution for it, because he's God, he's not diabolical. Like, he created everything. He wouldn't give me an instruction that was contrary to my nature or my ability, you know, to experience. And so I went on a pilgrimage to find out how the Lord would, you know, how would he be good to me in my sexual identity.
Yes, amen. Let's talk a little bit about Equipped to Love. You are the co-founder, mm-hmm. and Equipped to Love is a resource, as I've already shared, for individuals, family members, friends, and church leaders. What do you do at Equipped to Love?
Yeah, we're building resources and networking with other ministries and really just trying to help equip the church to how do we deal with this issue? How do we love people, you know, into freedom and hold the line as well on what God's standards are for sexuality, but just helping people understand, how do I have those conversations? What do I tell my church congregation? You know, how do I evangelize LGBTQ people when they come into my presence? Those are the type, and as well as we do some kind of consulting with individuals who are on a journey out as well.
And at Equipped to Love, you work with churches of all denominations.
Yes, I mean, we would be, you know, I wouldn't say we probably have reached every one of the denominations at this point, but absolutely, we're going to try to help and, you know, bring truth and encouragement regardless of where you're coming from a faith background.
Well, I so appreciate Equipped to Love and really what you have been doing for many, many years now. I'm still one of those firm believers that believes the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity, and that includes men and women struggling with their sexuality. So I'm so glad Equipped to Love is there for so many who are looking for help, because there are many men and women around the world today in various countries. They have nowhere to go, and they're trying to white-knuckle this, and that's a rough road to travel.
It sure is, and almost every time I speak in a church or minister somewhere, there are people that come up to me at the end. They probably got, you know, sometimes they're like, they've got a baby that they're carrying or something, and they'll say, you know what, nobody knows this about me, but I too have struggled with this, and you know, but I've been married happily for X number of years or whatever, and you know, the problem. Well, of course, we're all seeing now that the problem was much more prevalent than we knew, but so many people are of their own convictions do not want to live an LGBTQ lifestyle, but they haven't had the tools that they wanted.
Yes, absolutely. And the church, I really do believe, needs to step even more so to the forefront and offer, really, the hope that we have in Christ. Because when God says with him all things are possible, that includes freedom from the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Now, again, I don't know if that's possible other than through a relationship with Christ Jesus, because it seems to me, in terms of homosexuality, same-sex attraction, I don't want to split hairs here, we're talking about a spiritual problem that requires a spiritual solution. And his name is Jesus.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I mean, I was helped by the clinical, you know, Christian psychology. I mean, they kept me alive. They helped me, you know, deal with issues like pride and fear and not having grace for myself. There were so many benefits I got from, you know, from psychology, for example. But you know, when it came to actually seeing a shift in my understanding of my identity, you kind of have to put all that in God's, and you know, you have to give God the credit for those things.
Absolutely. Let's talk also for a few moments, please, about Change. Now, again, I've already shared that you have the wonderful publication titled Change, Once Gay Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that initially came out with, I think, what was it, about 30 or 40 testimonies of both men
mm-hmm.
and women?
37 testimonies was the original amount, yep.
And then there's a second edition with many more testimonies. Is that correct?
Yes, right. The latest edition has 52 in it.
Wow. And once again, each of the testimonies by various men and women, they all point to Christ being the way out of the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And in terms of from person to person, I mean, we're all unique individuals. So the journey out of this particular form of brokenness has also got to be very, very individualized. And I know some of the steps that occurred in my own life, and I'm sure in yours, because we, again, we're different individuals. Apart from our relationship with Jesus and our being faithful to church attendance, having a dedicated prayer life, all those Christian maintenance areas that we're all responsible to do, those are all factors that are necessary, regardless of what habit, addiction, or compulsive behavior a person may be struggling with. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. I think largely the journey. I have a book coming out in March called The Journey Out, and it's about, you know, how the Lord walked me out of homosexuality. And you know, when I've preached kind of on the same content that's in the book, people come up to me afterwards and they'll be like, well, that's the same process I've gone through in my own life, and I never dealt with homosexuality, you know?
Yes.
So, yep.
Would you say that the answer to homosexuality is heterosexuality?
No, I wouldn't. I know. I think that we can turn around and look backwards after the Lord has kind of discipled us and you know, helped heal wounds in us and kind of retrain our brain, you know, just heal our brains, really,
mm-hmm.
That we turn backwards and be like, oh, wow, I would say I should identify if I believed in identifying that way. I would say I'm a heterosexual, but everyone that I've seen that their focus is on becoming heterosexual or making sure that they eliminate all same-sex attraction, if that's the goal, I don't find people experiencing breakthrough with that. But in surrender, when people come and do a total surrender to the Lord, like I remember when the man that was mentoring me said, hey, Ken, why don't you just pray after me and just say, I was already repeating after him some other prayers, and then he got to this point and he said, okay, so just say, I just give up all my rights to ever be sexually gratified by a man ever again. And there was a disturbance in the force. Like, I was like, I've been working on this for 15 years at that point, and I can't pray this with good conscience right now. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with me that I can't pray that prayer? And I said, you know, I need the weekend. And he laughed at me. He was like, Ken, you're so messed up. I said, I know. And he said, all right, take the weekend if you need it. But I came back after that, and I really had to consider, Lord, are you going to be Lord over every area of my life, or am I going to hold back a few parts for myself? And that was a dramatic shift for me, Philip, because I no longer had to make decisions. I had already made every decision. I was going to follow Jesus. And when he got the reins of my life in that way, things got a lot easier.
I would submit that probably, quite possibly, the greatest crisis in each of our lives is the surrendering of our wills to God's will. And that, it's not easily done often, but it's absolutely necessary. And I pose the question about, is the answer to homosexuality heterosexuality? Because I remember many, 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 many years ago in my own life, there were well-meaning Christians that came my way and said, now, Philip, just get married and have 22 kids and you'll be fine. And I'm thinking, I don't think so.
Right.
So the goal, really, the ultimate goal in the life of every faithful follower of Christ is God the Father himself, not an aspect of our sexuality.
It's so true.
Ken, we're quickly running out of time. I just want to ask you also with regard to change. Now, you've been having gatherings around the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women coming together. What have those been about?
Yeah, well, I would say our two real things that we go after is, number one is elevating the testimony of changes that Jesus has brought in people's lives. And number two is protecting the pathway for people that are LGBTQ identified to be able to find the gospel. So to protect that pathway, we've ended up, you know, we began accidentally as this gathering of people to stand up against a bill that would have banned therapy for people that wanted to leave homosexuality behind, and then turned into a book, and then now it's just kind of turned into a movement. We have over 2,000 people and growing in a private Facebook group called Changed Movement, people just wanting to encourage each other along their journeys. But yeah, when different laws are trying to be passed, or when the United Nations, you know, stands up against, you know, against our rights to leave LGBTQ behind, then we try to rally and address those, because we're talking about religious freedom being taken away when we're saying that someone doesn't have the right to be able to pursue, you know, a sexual life and identity that is in alignment with Scripture.
Well, I am so grateful that you joined me today for the broadcast, and everything you've shared is very, very encouraging. Would you, because there's a variety of people that tune into this broadcast, there are individuals struggling with same-sex attraction, there's parents with gay-identified children, there's individuals just wanting to learn. Would you take a few seconds, please, and just pray as we close the program?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks, Philip. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are Father. As Philip said, you are Father. And that reality, Father, I'm praying that you would make that real in people's lives that are listening today. Father, that it could become experiential, that you actually are holding my life in your hands, that you care about our every need, that you've given us Jesus as the one to sacrifice and to offer freedom from every bondage in our lives, and you've given the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be the comforter of every person listening, to be the counselor of every person listening, and that your kingdom, God, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want, Lord, for every creature that you created to be experiencing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for faith to be boosted and for hearts to be encouraged that, God, you are good. That they would see and experience that you want to know them personally and to lead them into a hopeful place, that you want to resolve any turmoil in people's hearts, that you want everyone to live in freedom and with a sense of wholeness. I pray, God, that you'd bless every person listening in Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.